Thank you, Mr. Martin. It is lovely to be home, and it's a joy to be with you today. I have to congratulate these boys and girls. That was powerful. That was mighty. If you should not be on anything next Sunday, would you come up and tell you Helen and sing for us? It was really good. Really enjoyed it. Obviously, a lot of hard work has gone in, and you're to be congratulated. And of course, it's, well, not that I'm biased, but it is a delight to see grandchildren singing for the Saviour. And what you were singing about was very much in keeping with what we want to think about for a moment or two today. You don't mind if these older people listen in, do you? Is that all right? No problem. I want to read you just a couple of verses from the book of Titus. I'm saying it's lovely to be back home. Can I say it's a delight to see the Reverend Douglas able to be in the meeting this morning. We rejoice in every remembrance of him. We thank God for his years of ministry and his words of wisdom, even as we sat under his ministry, not in this house, but in the one that's no longer there. But that was home to us for many years, and we've many fond memories of fellowshipping and worshipping with so many of you. Book of Titus, chapter 2. Mr. Martin said I could take as long as I like, because the evening service is not till 7 o'clock. I'll not be long. Titus, chapter 2, and verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." When you come to a meeting like this to talk to boys and girls, they usually expect you to have something in a plastic bag. It says on the side of the bag, "Every little helps." Well, I hope it does. And what's in it didn't come out of Tesco's. Got a box. Everybody loves a box. What's in it? I'll give you a clue. It says on the lid, "Waterford Crystal." You know what that means? You know what Waterford Crystal is? Any in your home? You know what it is? Very special stuff, isn't it? Well, that's not what's in it either. But somebody bought me Waterford Crystal for my 70th birthday. Well, it came very early, about 40 years early. I'm just using the box. But I've got something in it that's precious. Something in it that reminds me of boys and girls. I love boys and girls. I used to be a wee boy. Sometimes my wife thinks I'm still a wee boy at heart. Do childish things. Something in here is very precious. What do you think it might be? I give you a clue. It comes out of Mother Earth. Yes. Worms? Worms do come out of Mother Earth, yes. But no. Something precious. Gold. Mr. Martin thinks it's gold. Well, the gold comes out of the earth. But it's not gold. What do you think? Sorry? A diamond? Oh. Hey boy. Do you realize the class of people you have? Diamonds come out of the earth. Whenever you think of it, just about everything we have comes out of this earth. Did you know that you and I come out of it? We're just made of dust, aren't we? Yes, dear.
Dust?
Well, it's not really.
I'll show it to you.
Well, that is. It's a piece of coal. You all know what coal is, don't you? Nice and clean, isn't it? Sort of thing you wear, you rub around your face and your hands. And well, actually, I washed this under the tap so that it wouldn't get black marks on my hands and then over my shirt and tie. Because knowing me, I would do things like that. It's a piece of coal. It's something we take for granted. How many people have got an open fire in your home? You know what it's like to shovel coal on the fire, don't you? You think nothing of it. You just in with a shovel, maybe it's into the bucket, and you fire it into the grate. And you never think where it came from. Or what it cost to get it to your home. Very precious. When I think of how that came to be, somebody had to go down into the very bowels of the earth to get that. Had to dig away way deep down and then go along in a mine underground. And sometimes a coal mine might run for miles underneath the ground. You're driving along the road and you would never think that maybe away down in there somewhere there's a coal mine underneath you. It made me think, well, what does the colour of it make you think, being black? What does it make you think of? It does. It makes me think of sin and sinners. And then it made me think of what our Saviour did to rescue sinners. You know, sometimes accidents happen down in coal mines. Sometimes there are gases build up. Maybe there's an explosion. Some people have lost their lives. And I think that maybe somebody gave his life so that I could have a piece of coal. Do you ever think of that? And what is it? It's just fuel for the fire. And I think, I'm just a sinner. But somebody went very far down to save me. He left heaven and came right down to this earth, a place that was blighted with sin. My heart was as black as that piece of coal, just as unworthy. And he gave his life for something that was only fit fuel for the fire. Do you know him today? Do you love him? Did you ever thank the Lord Jesus for going to the cross to die for you? Did you ever think how far down he came to lift fuel for the fire? Because that's all we are. But he did it because he loves us. Isn't the grace of God a wonderful thing, boys and girls? We are so undeserving. We deserve the fire. You know that? But he came. He loved me when I didn't love him. And he rescued me. He saved me. I'm glad there are boys and girls here that are saved. Some of you I don't know. Maybe their mums and dads. Maybe some of them are not saved. You know, it can be. Because the same Jesus who saved me can save them. I'm glad of that. And tell me that when this comes out of the ground, we couldn't use it the way it is, the way it comes out of the ground. It has to be processed. It has to be washed first. And I don't mean washing it the way I did it. It goes through some sort of process before it ends up in the coal bag on the back of the coal lorry, before some poor man with a sore back has to hump it into your bunker, and then you get it from the bunker and into the fireplace. There's a fellow sitting down there and he knows all about a sore back and humping coal. But it has to be washed before you use it, before you and I get it to use it. I was thinking, isn't that just like the sinner? The sinner needs to be washed. His life will never be any benefit to the Lord until there's a change, until he's washed from all the filth of his sin. Well, having said that, now that it is washed, what kind of uses does it give? What's the most obvious one? What do we do with coal? What's it for? Why do we burn it? Sorry? For heat? Is that what you said? You're spot on. We put it on the fire, we burn it. It's what's known as combustible material. You ever hear that big word? You need to go to the wet field. We put it on the fire, it burns, it gives heat. It gives warmth. I wonder, does your life give warmth? Do other people enjoy being in your company because you're saved? Is there something about you that people say, oh, I just love to be in that person's company? There's such a warmth with them. Love just flows out of their heart. They're just a picture of Christ. You know, when the grace of God works in your heart and life, that's what happens. Your life becomes a pleasant thing. You can give off warmth. What else does it give off? It does make smoke, aye. Mm-hmm. If the electric went off, but you still had the fire lit, you wouldn't be completely in the dark. Sure you wouldn't. Isn't there a certain amount of light from the fire? All right. I mean, you couldn't see to read the newspaper with the light of the fire, but there's a certain light. There's something lovely about walking into a room where there's an open fire. It says welcome, doesn't it? It gives off warmth and a certain amount. There's a lovely glow. Some people like to sit and just stare into the fire. Because even if you lived on your own, and some people do, you look into the fire, it's like company for you. But you know, I was reading about this piece of coal, and it's interesting some of the things that they make from coal. This might surprise you. We said it gives off a certain amount of light. Well, that is. That's a light bulb. That's a heavy bulb. Light bulb. Heavy bulb. See that black bit? They tell me that black bit is made from this. I didn't know that, did you? Who would ever have thought of it? Because I've noticed sometimes when there's coal burning on the fire, there's a little black liquid that seeps out of it. I don't know what to call it. But they tell me that it goes into the making of light bulbs. Did you know that, Mr. Martin?
Yes, sir,
your turn. You're getting educated. The Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And that's very true. He said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. But then he also said, ye are the light of the world. Now, is that a contradiction? You know what contradiction means? Mr. Martin will explain it to you. If Jesus said, I am the light of the world, speaking of himself, and then he says, ye are the light of the world, can both be correct? Well, yes, they can. What does the light do? What does this thing do? It lights up the house. It lights up the darkness. It's not that big, but that could do something that the sun can't do. You know how big the sun is. Indeed, we were singing in that last hymn that we sang about the little candle. A wee candle can do something that the sun can't do. It can give light at night. You know that. Anyway, the question is, does your life give off light? Is the light of the gospel seen in your life? Or do you hide your light under a bushel? In other words, if you're saved, are you telling it out? Do people know you're saved? People think, you know, oh, well, I'm very young. I really couldn't do anything for the Lord. But that'd be a mistake. If the Lord has saved you, He saved you, boys and girls, to be a light, to shine for Him. I wonder, is your light shining? Jesus bids us shine. Wasn't that our opening hymn? Like a clear, pure light. There's a hymn in our book that says, God, make my life a little light within the world to glow, a little flame that burneth bright wherever I may go. We had a lady speaking at our prayer meeting on Wednesday night. She's going to go out to Thailand to work with missionaries. And she was telling us that when she was a little girl of 6, she was saved because 2 other little girls spoke to her, told her about the Saviour. Wasn't that nice? Just 2 wee girls told another wee girl about the Saviour, and she trusted the Lord. Today she's a nurse, and she's going out to serve the Lord in the mission field. How lovely. He ever said, Lord, will you make my life just to be a light to burn for Thee? Something else that I learned is made from coal. Now, I'm not forgetting about this black piece. You ever hear of mothballs? Anybody know what mothballs are? I see adults shaking their head. I'm not that old. I remember, well, whenever I was your age, my mother had mothballs. You hung them in the wardrobe. Some people, when they opened their wallets, they'd need one of those with the moths flying in them. You hung it in the wardrobe. It wasn't a very nice smell. But it killed moths, or at least it kept the moths from coming and eating your clothes. Did you know that moths eat clothes? Mm-hmm. Did you not know? Well, you know now. Like Mr. Martin, you're learning. You used to hang these in the wardrobe. Now, especially if you had woolen clothes, the moths would come in and eat holes in them. And you hang that there in, and that kept the moths at bay. I thought, has the Bible anything to say about moths? Well, James says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten. He says, your gold and silver is tankered. The rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. He said, behold, the hire of the labourers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped and entered into the ears of the Lord, ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth resist you. People who were living for money. You know, the Bible says, lay not up treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. In other words, don't be living like Michael Jackson. Don't be living for worldly fame and making money. I had an uncle. He died just a couple of weeks ago. And there was a man stood where I'm standing now. And he was talking about my uncle. And he said something that just summed him up. He said he didn't believe in putting his tent pegs too deep into the ground. He didn't live for the things of this world. He lived as a man who was always ready to move out. I've often said at funerals, it doesn't matter how big a house you're carried out of,
The only thing that matters is where you're going. Anyway, better move on. Who knows what that is?
Yes.
It's a record. Can you still get these today? We're not the CDs, aren't we? Well, when I was your age, this was the range. This one is the pipes and drums and the military band of the Royal Scots Dragoon Guards, and they're playing Amazing Grace. I remember buying that. It was lovely. Sorry, I have nothing to play it on today. I would let you hear it. But you know, that's made from coal. This stuff here. I didn't know that until recently. Mr. Martin didn't know it until now. Made from coal. What does it do? Gives us music, doesn't it? Nice music. What's the purpose of music? It is to glorify God. Oh, it's nice for us to listen to and all the rest of it, provided we're listening the right kind of music. It's good music. It is designed to glorify God. We were on our Sunday school outing yesterday, and the bus driver was telling me that back in 1971, he was saved singing a hymn. He'd gone to a mission. He couldn't remember what the preacher spoke about, but he remembered singing a hymn. And in the chorus of the hymn, he sang two lines: "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." And he says those two lines really touched his heart. And he asked the Lord to save him. And then he went to tell the preacher after the meeting was over. And the preacher says, "Well, on my way to the meeting, the Lord told me to change the last hymn and sing that one." See the way the Lord works? Music from a piece of coal. Is your life, boys and girls, making melody for the Lord? What else have we? What do you think that is? Spray.
What is it?
What's it? Aftershave. Perfume. Whew. If I put too much of this on, my wife thinks, "Oh, what a lovely smell. I can't get that to beat her off." Did you know that some of the perfume that you wear is made from coal? You fancy rubbing that around your face? Wonderful what they can do with coal, isn't it? Fragrance gives off a nice smell. When does your life give off fragrance? When I think of fragrance, I think of Mary. They had a box of ointment. And she was in her room, and the room was full of people, disciples of the Lord Jesus. I'm sure you know the story. The Lord Jesus himself was there. And you know what Mary did? She broke the box and she rubbed the ointment, the perfume, on the Saviour's feet. And of course, she got it on her hands and she got it on her hair. Well, what did it mean? It meant that wherever she went, she had the same, she smelt the same fragrance as Christ. Is that the way your life is? Does your life give off his fragrance? Are you sweet to know? I remember knocking doors one day, inviting people to meetings. And a woman who claimed to be a Christian came out. And to me, she was like a stable Christian. Do you know what that is? I don't mean somebody who was steady. She had a face as long as a horse. Very sad, very gloomy. She was all down in the dumps. The people of the Lord are happy people. Should be. If your sins are forgiven, if you're washed in the blood and you're on your way to heaven, if that doesn't put a smile in your face, nothing will. The hymn writer said, "God, make my life a little flower that giveth joy to all, content to bloom in native bower, although the place be small." Is your life giving off fragrance? Well, it's near 7 o'clock. One last item. What do you think that is?
You're quick.
You.
It's medicine.
I don't know. That's what you were going to say anyway, isn't it? You know that was medicine. This man knows nothing.
Medicine.
Did you know that some medicines are made from coal? Fancy eating that?
Whenever my wee sister was just 3 years old, eating 2.5 to 3, she used to eat this stuff. Honestly. Did an awful job stopping her. If it wasn't coal, it was soil.
There's no wonder her hair was black when she grew up. I think she'd need to go back on it because it started to go a different colour this last while. Things that are made from coal. All sorts of useful things. What have we? Light, music, mothballs, fragrance, medicine. A wee tonic. You know what a tonic is? Something that builds you up when you're feeling a bit run down. When you've been burning the candles at both ends and you come to the middle, you've no energy left. You wouldn't know about that, sure you wouldn't. It's old people like Mr. Martin would know what that's like. Tonic. All coming from coal. And, well, it just teaches us that what our lives can be. Your life can be something that is illuminating, something that's bright for the Lord. Something that gives off a lovely fragrance, the very fragrance of Christ. Something that, well, is music to the souls of others whenever you meet them. Maybe your life is just a tonic. Some Christians are like that, thankfully. They're not all long-faced like that woman that lived in the stable. Some people's lives are real tonic. We had a man come out to testify in Tullyvallen one night. He was in his 70s. And he skipped up and down our pulpit like a 5-year-old. Full of the joy of the Lord. And everybody went home rejoicing. A real blessing. But you know, when all said and done, it just emphasizes the grace of God. What he can do with something that is fit fuel for the fire. Because that's all any of us are. Fuel for the fire. But when you're sealed by the grace of God, boys and girls, what wonderful things the Lord can do with your life. How much of you has he got today? Has he got all of your heart? And you know that the Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Is that the reason you get out of bed in the morning, boys and girls? And mums and dads. What did you get up for this morning? Just out of habit? Well, Sunday, you better go to church, better fill the seat, better let the minister see we were there for an hour. Or did you come here to meet with him? Did you come here because you love him? He's been good to you, hasn't he? Many years has he given you. What have you given him? He saved today. As fit fuel for the fire. Think what Christ has done for you. What are you doing for him? When you give him your life, what's left of it? I believe God's speaking to young people in these days. Just this week was a 10-year-old. Fell into the river, drowned. A fortnight ago, reading of a mother taking her wee 3-year-old to nursery school. She got out of the jeep, walked round the back of the jeep to take the child into the wee nursery. The handbrake slipped. The jeep rolled back, and the wee 3-year-old was pinned against the post and taken out into eternity. What are you doing with your young life, boys and girls? When you say, Lord Jesus,
take my life, let it be consecrated to thee. Here am I, take me up and use me. I'm only fit fuel for the fire. Lord, save me. Use me for thy glory. You do that today, older person. You're living for him. What are you doing for eternity? Is this really all that matters, isn't it? I trust the Lord will speak to our hearts today. Bring everyone into that right place. Give us lives of usefulness for his glory. May the Lord bless these thoughts today to our hearts.